driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you. Thank you. Mic check one, mic check two.
Non. Yeah,
I don't know. Thank you. It's perfect. Hi, everyone. This was such a magical moment. And actually, this could last forever because the sun will set at some time, but the night will never really happen.
I don't know if it sets or if it just disappears slightly behind that mountaintop and then comes back up, actually.
It's crazy.
So let's go. Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's do it again. I mean, if
maybe
if
give me 10 minutes to like warm my fingers, and I can go again.
Drink a little bit of tea.
Tea.
Well, man, that was crazy. I mean, in what state of mind did you put yourself in for like when you played today? Because you were not in your studio, you were not in front of a crowd in a concert.
It was really like fully like flow state, like the last 1 hour, I have to admit, and that doesn't even happen always during concerts, you know. And it wasn't even the surroundings, because actually I have to say, one moment I looked up at the mountain and I was like, holy fuck, this is amazing. And that's the one time I really messed up on the piano. So I decided I'm not gonna look at this mountain again, and I'm just gonna focus on being here with my friends who have worked so hard with me for this and who are really cold right now and who are really giving everything they have for this music. And that is like a state of mind, right? Like that is the ultimate state of creativity, where you're just, nothing else matters than the music you're playing right now. To be honest, like this surrounding doesn't matter in that moment. You know, it's just the music.
And we could feel it. We could feel that you were really all connected and really enjoying
it. Yeah, we were enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
people
were commenting like, are the artists more enjoying or are we more enjoying? It's crazy. And I need to say, we've been discussing together for more than 5 years.
Yes.
To do this show. I checked my emails just to check. The first email was back in early 2018.
Then you flew over, right? And
I
you
flew
checked
over.
Out some locations.
Yeah. Wow. It was the first scouting. I flew over 2018, then again like 3 times. And now we're here. So
it's incredible. Thank you so much.
No. Like, thank you so much to you.
Beautiful opportunity.
I mean, you really deserve this show. So I have like a lot of questions. First of all, the question about this country, which is, I think, my favorite country in the world. Like, it's totally crazy. People that have visited it may understand me, or people that are from Iceland. We were speaking a lot about the location where we would do this set.
Yeah.
And you told me, for example, this location, I don't really feel a connection, but this one, yes. Mm-hmm. How, like, which connection did you feel? How do you relate to this location?
This location I connect to deeply because it reminds me of the highlands of Iceland. We are not quite in the highlands. They're just over there, but we're actually still in the lowlands. But this is one of these very few so-called lowlands locations that just feel like you're in the highlands. And the highlands of Iceland are, for me, like my favorite place in the world. Like, I grew up basically up there, you know, because my parents work in environmental issues a lot. And every summer we would go with the tents on the car, and I would just be with my 4 siblings, like in the back of a car with no seatbelts, like bumping heads on the rocky roads. And this is just like, it's such a big part of me, that experience. And then I still do that today. Now I just go on my own and I drive up there and I stay. And it's this feeling of just complete aloneness. You know, there's nobody, nowhere close to you. And this feeling is so rare in the world today. And even sometimes when we are alone, we're somehow not alone, because we're constantly getting bombarded by information from our phones or whatever glasses we're putting on our heads today or whatever. And this quietness is something I feel is more and more rare, and something I really hold dearly. So that's why I feel such a connection to this place.
It's beautiful. Yeah, and it's really quiet. And also the way people talk here, is more quiet in some other countries.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Even when people talk, it's more quiet. Something I really felt is that there is not a lot of people living here, but there is a lot of talent. There are a lot of artists. And I was wondering why there is a big density of artists in Iceland. Do you think, what's your point of view?
This is the age-old question, right? It's the question I've tried to answer. Every interview since I was 18 years old, I've tried to answer this question. And nowadays, I just start to make up stuff, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the government put something in the water. I think it's a combination of a lot of different factors that somehow come together in this perfect harmony here. Because it's true, the music scene is amazing here for such a small population. I think one factor is, for example, traditionally, like, the music scene here wasn't so, like, industry oriented or business oriented, so you would start a band with some friends, and you know, like, even if you're really popular, you will sell like 50 records, so it doesn't really matter what you do, right? So I think from that, like, non-conformation attitude, you get a lot of unique music. I think another factor is just the environment here. Not necessarily that we're like writing music and looking at the mountain all the time, but maybe rather the like logistical effects of living in such an environment. December, January, February, you don't go out of your house very much.
You stay inside.
Yeah, it's so dark, it's so cold, it's storm all the time. So you stay inside, and you need to find some hobbies you can do inside, which is music is perfect for this. I think there's a lot of other factors, you know, maybe it's also culture, history, and also governmental support. There's a lot of education in music. There's a lot of support from our government. There's many, many factors.
Mm. And the landscape as well. You were talking about the highlands when you were young and, like, traveling all around. I'm sure
this gives you a peace of mind. It gives you the clarity of the mind to be able to be creative, I think. You need that. I cannot be creative if I'm in, like, New York. I know some people can, because they trained their mind somehow to ignore the noise. But when I hear all this noise constantly, I just go crazy.
And when are you the most creative? Like, for example, do you feel that these extreme, sometimes, weather conditions, but also the fact that sometimes it's complete darkness for a lot of months or complete light, how does it affect your creative process?
I think I actually am the most creative in the extreme polar opposites. So, like, in the middle of summer, when it's light all the time, and I feel so manic, you know? It's like, you're never tired, you never want to go to sleep, because the sun is just up, and I feel really creative at this time. And I also feel really creative in the extreme opposite, in the dark winter. January and February is usually when I, like, finish an album, you know.
Maybe the main reason.
Yeah,
we found the perfect answer. I'm just taking questions from the online audience as well. Let's speak about also now the electronic music part. You decided to play one track from Chiasmos. Why did you decide to play this track?
I think it's because it's Circle, and I've been a fan of Circle for a long time, and I'm obviously involved in electronic music with Chiasmos. And I felt like, because we are doing this show with you guys, I felt like it was a little dedication to you.
It's a
place where it's appropriate to play, like, a little bit more upbeat songs. But actually, we had so much fun doing it. We've been rehearsing this a lot, because it's a song we never played before live, and we had to figure it all out and make new arrangements, and it's been so much fun with the band to actually play some, like, dance music, but with a string quartet, you know?
Yeah, it was really
so fantastic.
It was a beautiful moment. Can you remember the time, like what is the main reason why you decided to go explore the electronic music world through Chiasmos?
It was just two friends hanging out in the beginning. Of course, there was a lot of, like, electronic music was quite big at the time. This was like 2008 or 2009. And me and Janus, my partner in Chiasmos, we were always, like, going to check out some, you know, Stefan Botts in DJ set in Iceland, or you know, we're starting to really get interested in it, and we would always meet up, go to like a techno DJ set, and then go home and be just really inspired to make something, you know. So I guess we were just super inspired by electronic music at the time.
And we're very happy that you got inspired, I must say. How do you perceive the role of technology in both neoclassical and electronic music world?
For me, the role of technology in all music is just a tool to make us think outside of the box of our usual thinking. Like, I always take the same example, like with my self-playing piano.
Yeah,
here.
I was about to ask you.
Maybe your next question.
I saw you watching it.
I'm like a very mediocre pianist, like, I'm not trying to be humble, but I never studied piano. I cannot play you Chopin. You know, I can play very basic piano. But what is interesting for me there is like how that results in the music I write, you know, because I have limitations to what my hands can do. And therefore, the music I write has the same limitation. You know, the ideas I think of, they don't only come from the mind. They come from your habits, how your muscles are moving, how your fingers are moving. But then if you break that by saying, for example, the piano shall play itself and I shall use a generative algorithm to help create the content for it, then you're kind of breaking this this connection and only using your mind, you know, you're taking away the limitations of your hands and creating music then that you would otherwise never think of without this. You know, so it's all about broadening horizons and exploring something new.
And enhancing your creativity.
Yes, and no matter what technology, whether it's a self-playing piano or just a laptop with Ableton Live, it's the same thing, isn't it?
But what's funny is that basically you used artificial intelligence by creating this, which is something that everybody is talking about right now, but
it's not really artificial intelligence, but it's
still an algorithm.
Yeah,
right?
It's algorithm. It's like a very dumb AI, like like really stupid AI.
When did you create it? So you created this system, Stratus, right?
Yes, Stratus, we call it.
With a friend of yours?
Yes, Haldur Eldjörn, shout out. We created this in 2017 and 2018, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
When I was making the album Remember. And for me, the whole concept of that album was kind of neoclassical music suddenly was really big. And then I was like, well, then I have to do something different, right? Because if there's now like 1,000 people doing this sweet piano music with strings, I don't want to do that also. So the whole concept of the album became like, how do I break out of this loop, this repetition and always coming back to the same sound, you know? So that was the whole idea of creating this, I think.
And have you tried to create this with other instruments?
Yeah, we've run it through like synthesizers and stuff like that. Not only self-playing pianos, and yeah, great. It's really fantastic. It's of course like designed for a specific instrument, so you have to kind of fiddle with it to make it work for other things. But it does work. Yeah,
it's fascinating because I'm really. I know it's as you said, really dumb AI, but it could be. I can imagine improved, and it depends where you set the limit, actually.
Yeah. But the problem with me is, like, once I've done something, I don't want to, like, keep doing that. I don't think I will develop this further. I would rather, you know, because, again, it's the same thing. Like, you don't want to, even this is an idea, you don't want to get stuck in this idea either.
Yeah.
So you have to think of something else, I guess.
So you don't like to get bored, actually.
Yeah, that's the trick. Yeah, just keep it exciting.
And speaking about AI, at what point, if any, do you think that AI stops being an asset for musicians and starts becoming a problem? Because I'm asking this question because, like, now AI is becoming really, really smarter and smarter. You see, like, even AI that can recreate an artist's voice, for example.
Yeah. I think it already is becoming a problem, to be honest. Maybe it's more of a problem for like the industry. It's not really a problem for me
for
as
artists.
An artist. I don't see that. Because art is not just the music, you know. You art needs to have a meaning. Yeah. It needs to have a purpose. And sure, the AI could probably copy my music within 5 years, but the AI is not trying to say anything. It has no message for you. It just copied something. There's no originality. There's no substance. There's absolutely no meaning. And that is what we look for in music. It's a human connection, which we feel through the message, through the expression of, you know, for example, this, me playing the piano here. It's a communication between me and you. AI is just imitating that.
Yeah.
And we feel the difference. We know the difference. So I don't think AI is going to replace this, what we're doing here. But I think it could make me not have any income of my music
anymore.
For
example,
I could stop making any money with it because AI would replace all the music on the background playlists on Spotify and all these, or like background music for the films or the TV shows, and which is a lot of where musicians actually make their money and make a living. So it's, I think it's a threat to our livelihood, but it's not a threat to our art at all.
That's interesting. Like the industry and maybe some legal aspect of it.
Yes,
So that's exactly
it's going to be more of a problem for my lawyer than me.
Yeah, exactly. A small question about the track that you created for this show and for this location, Ifir, Afurse Ifir.
Yeah.
Is this some sort of following from Undir?
Yes. In Icelandic, Undir means under, below, and Ifir means over, because we use that name because it's kind of a tribute to Undir. Undir was a track we've been touring for the last 5 years with, of course, the break and the pandemic, and Undir was always like a highlight in our show, and we love playing it so much. We were always changing it because it was just like a place to experiment. And somehow last year we realized it's not the same song anymore. We were just changing one by one element until it was a completely new song. So we have played it a few times live before, but I finally, for this occasion, I really took it into the studio and I looked at it and thought of it as a new song, not just as a variation on it. It's a completely new piece of music right now. So if it is a, it's a little tribute to that. And of course, Havarse is this mountain right here.
And when you speak, you say we. I feel that you're really connected all together. Do you know each other for a long time?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. We most of these guys have played with me for many years. Like Carl on viola, and Unur on cello. They've both been since 2009, I think, or 2008 even. So like 15 years we played together. So even though they don't necessarily like write the songs with me, it always feels like we, you know, because half of the music is the performance, right? And they make the performance. I cannot do that.
Well, I have nothing more to say other than thank you so much
This was incredible. What a special way to like experience my own country also, like with you guys and through your eyes and do something crazy like this. It's always fun. I really enjoy it.
I'm really eager for you to watch the video.
Yes,
actually.
I can't wait. I'm going to run to the track and watch back the video.
We have a small tradition at Circle. It's the mystery box, little gift that we would like to offer you. Little gift from... So actually, two little gifts. One from here, from Iceland. So... It was very difficult because we're some French people offering you something from Iceland, but we tried our best. Okay, and another gift from our partner Bang and Olufsen, which are
Bang Olufsen headphones. Thank you, guys.
Headphones.
They'll come in handy, especially the noise cancelling. You know, I like the quiet.
You like when there is no noise, so it's perfect.
This is
obsidian.
This is gorgeous. This is really beautiful. This is obsidian. It's in Icelandic. It's called Hrafntinna, and it's so black. It's like I'm no geologist, but at least as a kid, I remember hearing that this was like really volcanic, and the myth. As at least when you're a kid, is that if you bang two of these together, they will actually start a fire.
Oh.
I don't know if that works. I did try it several times when I was a kid, and I never made it happen. But that was the myth, that you could start a fire with this.
And this comes from the highlands. So
this comes from Hrafntinnusker, maybe. Do you know?
No.
There's Obsidian Mountain, which is one of the most gorgeous places in this country. It's just behind this mountains here, and it's full of these rocks. So maybe it comes from there.
So, well, thank you so much, Olafur, for
thank you guys. For I really tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you also to all the musicians.
Thank you to thank everyone you for who is watching.
Yeah, thank you for everyone watching. Also, the amazing crew that we have from Covert and Empire team that did like such an amazing job securing. It looks easy, but it's not easy to do to this at all. We're in pretty extreme weather conditions, but we were so lucky.
So lucky. It's been raining here for like 2 weeks until yesterday.
And yeah,
it's not warm. Like, I am freezing right now. Yeah. But we were, at least we were able to play.
yeah, totally. So thank you also to actually Mother Nature for for the weather.
Yes.
And thank you also to our partner, Bengen Olufsen. Thank you to the amazing and lovely Circle team. And see you next time. I must say something. I'm really happy about this show because I felt like it was a real collaboration. It was not us inviting you or booking you. It was a real collaboration that we did. So thank you very much, Olafur.
It's the only way to do it, really. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a wrap!